Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare, is Dr. Jeffrey Copeland, the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital, our regular call-in with the good doctor on Tuesday afternoons. Doctor, I signed up for my booster shot yesterday. I'm going to get it today.
Good for you, John. That's great. Now, this is your second booster you're getting?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I mean, I know that's what I intend, but when I was filling out the form online, I don't know if they know I'm coming in for my first or second booster. I thought I did it right, and I'm wondering if when I get there, they're going to say I'm too young or not needy enough for it. Are there parameters? Can anybody get the second booster that wants it?
Yeah, well, at this point, the second booster is authorized for people over the age of 50, and then additional people who are younger than 50 who have various immunocompromised states. So, John, you definitely qualify,
yeah.
And it's good that you're going in. It's okay. The pharmacist won't care whether it's your first or second. You're eligible, and good for you that you're going in and getting it.
Well, thank you. And let me share with you this. So when I got my first vaccine and then even my first booster, you know, you had to, like, find a location and hope it was this week and hope it was a convenient hour. It was a hunt and search. The local Walgreens here had, like, every minute of the day was available the next day. I mean, it's not hard to get a booster. And I had this question in my mind, Doctor. This second booster for me is going to do which of the following? Protect me more or protect other people more?
Well, hopefully both. It's certainly going to protect you. And what it's going to protect you from, we think, is the possibility of getting very ill, requiring hospitalization, and even worse. Whether it's going to decrease the risk of you infecting someone else, that we're not so sure about. We know with these subvariants of Omicron that we're seeing, they evade the initial immune response that we have. That's why people are getting reinfected.
Yeah.
And those people then can transmit the virus to other people. But certainly you're doing a good thing for yourself. And by doing a good thing for yourself, I would argue you're doing a good thing for the community.
Well, I'm not going to tie up maybe a hospital. A friend of mine just got back from a conference she traveled to, picked up Omicron somewhere along the way. I know so many people who are getting a version of COVID again. It's, and their relative, my godson just sent me a text. Now, think about it. My godson told me 2 days ago he got it as well. And nobody's going to the hospital. They're all mildly sick, if sick at all. But boy, it's contagious.
Yeah, this is really contagious, John. And that's the important aspect of Omicron, the subvariant that we're seeing right now in our area. But thankfully, people, the vast majority of people are not getting very ill from it. I'm sure your godson's, his experience will be mild illness, mm-hmm. Will be like having a cold, maybe like a flu. And in a couple of days, he's going to be fine. That's what we're seeing in the overwhelming majority of the cases. Having said that, for those people who are at risk, particularly older folks, people who have immunocompromised states, they need to be very careful because, as you point out, John, this is very infectious and it's all over the place. I would hazard a guess that all of our listeners know somebody or a number of somebodies who've been infected over the last couple of weeks, right? It's all over the place. We all know people who've been infected. So the numbers that we see in the official data that gets published on the various websites, that is without a doubt an undercount of the number of people who are being infected currently with Omicron.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What do you suppose? Is there, like, was the bubonic plague, was influenza in the past century, did that infect as high a percentage of people as we think maybe have been infected in the United States? Obviously, the mortality rates are different. I'm not talking about that. But at least half of the U.S. population has had some form of COVID. I wonder if other pandemics were spread as widely as this one.
Certainly the Spanish flu back in late 19-teens, World War One time, that was a very similar experience here in the United States and in other parts of the world. What's different now is how mobile we are. Right back in 1917, 1918, I think about my grandparents who were here. They never traveled outside of their own neighborhood, right? I mean, people didn't travel the way we do. So with the mobility that we have, your friend who went to a conference, right? That conference probably was out of town.
It was.
So with all of that traveling, the virus is able to make its way around the world almost instantaneously. And that's really the experience that we've had. And that's what we're seeing. Now, in terms of how many people have actually been infected, CDC published a really interesting study back in April where they looked at the blood samples taken for other reasons from a large group of people. And they looked for antibody, not against the vaccine, but against parts of the virus, the COVID virus, that the vaccine does not cause the body to create antibodies against. So in other words, if you have those antibodies that the CDC looked for, you actually were infected by the COVID virus. And it turns out it was over 70% of the population that they tested. So this virus is making its way around the American public. I think we all know that.
Yeah.
And I also think that's part of the reason, John, why we're not seeing so many people being hospitalized. These even people who have not received vaccines, they've already been infected. So they have an element of immunity should they get infected. And that's what's keeping them from getting deathly ill.
Which leads to two questions I'll ask you to answer after a quick stop here, Doctor. This one says, should early masked hours be used at grocery stores? Say the Jewel opens at 10. How about 9 to 10 o'clock we let people go in that only have on masks for their comfort and safety? And what's the definition of fully vaccinated then if we keep having to get boosted? From Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital, Dr. Jeffrey Copen's answering our questions as he does on Tuesdays at this time. Doctor, let's go quickly through a couple of those texted questions, and then we'll take a couple of calls. What do you think about early masked hours at grocery stores, places like that?
Certainly, if a grocery store wanted to do that, that would be fine. I think a better idea is for individuals who are concerned about being exposed to folks not wearing a mask, make sure you have a well-fitting N95 or KN95 mask that you wear when you go out into public. I think that would even be better than mask-only hours in a grocery store. Those masks work very well, and they will protect you as well as can be done if you're going to be out in public from inhaling the virus.
What is the definition of fully vaccinated if we have to keep getting boosted? Does that mean anything, fully vaccinated?
So fully vaccinated is defined as getting the first two doses of an mRNA vaccine, so Pfizer or Moderna, or having gotten the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, two doses of that. The booster is a booster. I would say, though, now, if you really want to say that you're fully vaccinated and you're over the age of 50 or you're immunocompromised, you should have gotten at least one booster, because we know that first booster primes the immune system in a very significant way that makes it even more unlikely that should you get infected with the virus that you'll get very ill. So one booster after the initial series, that's going to put you in a really good place. And then if you're over 50 or you otherwise immunocompromised, you can consider getting that second booster.
Marlene, what was your question for Dr. Copen?
Oh, you got me. Thank you. My question is that I have had one booster, and then I was going to set up the appointment for my second. However, I got COVID instead, and I'm wondering how long I should wait to get my second booster, because I'm hearing different theories about wait as long as possible so you extend your immunity So I'm not real sure.
Yeah. So first of all, how did you do with the COVID infection?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
How did you do with the COVID infection? How did you feel when you had it?
Well, truthfully, it was like a really, really bad case of the flu.
Wow.
I gave it to my husband, who was very mild. But mine was like a really, I mean, not hospitalized, not even close to that, but like a really bad case of the flu.
Yeah, isn't it interesting? That's what you had, but your husband had a much more mild infection.
Now, I had the Pfizer vaccines, and he had the Moderna. Both of us had one booster.
Yeah, I wonder if that matters much, Doctor. So you asked that question, why? What are you thinking?
Yeah, so the question, Marlena, is when or should you get the second booster? Wait about a month after you recover, and then go ahead and get that second booster. That will be a good idea for you. It'll keep you in a really good place, again, without the concern that you're going to get very sick.
It is interesting, isn't it, that in one household, one person gets it bad, and sometimes the other person tests negative the whole time. That does happen, doesn't it, Doctor?
Yes, that absolutely happens. We don't even understand yet why that is.
Yeah.
There are people who absolutely have COVID symptoms. And remember, the symptoms are not caused by the virus. This is such an important point, John. The symptoms are caused by our body's reaction to the virus. So there are people who clearly have COVID infections, but they continue to test negative. It's just so interesting. It probably has to do with the way that their bodies clear the virus, and it's just not picked up, not by the home antigen test or even by the very, very sensitive PCR test.
Yeah. Dr. Jeffrey Copeland, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Medicine, Lake Forest Hospital. Let's chat again next Tuesday, Doctor. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Everybody take good care. Bye-bye.
That's good advice from the doctor.